All right, we'll have we'll go for a short time. Okay, so Pasakum, you have yourself a very strange Gemara here that is hard to understand. So let's at least take a couple of minutes to go through the actual Shaka Vitari of the Gemara. So it starts off strangely, and it really continues to go strangely till the end. So it says, one of the things that was asked in the Mishnah was v'hapas, right? And Rashi in the Mishnah already told us that the reason for all of those things on that secondary list, the first one was the was chalob shechovo avod obikocham ve'yisro ro'eu. Then we had v'hapas v'hashem and shalohem, right? And then and then ashlakos and kavashin and taris trufa, right? So Rashi and Divrei Maskev ashlakos shlakos. Even if it was kosher, the kulu mishum chasnus, right? The whole, all of those things that are listed together in the Mishnah was due to a chashash of intermarriage. So we'll try to come back to that a little bit later in terms of what's the nature of the intermarriage problem. There's a very the pashim shot is that, you know, I don't know. What do you think the pashim shot is in the intermarriage problem? So I don't think when you buy bread you socialize. It's that when, if someone bakes you, you move in next door and your non-Jewish neighbor comes over and he brings you delicious home-cooked bread, home-baked bread. So it's nice. You say, oh wow, who baked this bread? You know, my daughter baked it. So you come over, you get very friendly. So, you know, on one hand, sometimes there's a tendency to be a little bit cynical towards these Yisurim. On the other hand, I'm pretty sure the intermarriage rate in the United States of America is about over 50%. So, 80% of the right. So obviously a lot of it, like you said, is a non-Orthodox problem. So if you're not Jewish for anything else, why would you be Jewish for marriage? You know, so I hear that, but unfortunately, there's some intermarriage amongst the Orthodox as well. You know, it's not nearly as close to the numbers as among the non-Orthodox, but still, Chazal didn't want there to be any intermarriages, so they tried to make certain fences that would prevent certain very positive, warm, fuzzy feelings towards, you know, you should get along nicely with your non-Jewish neighbors. Everybody should be cordial and nice, but you should always obviously act like a mensch. We do things, you know, with Nedar Kishalom. We support certain number of non-Jewish tzedakas because of Dar Kishalom, and we do other things to try to keep very nice, happy, peaceful relationships. But Lais, at the end of the day, we want there to be fences that we don't cross over to avoid this problem. So the first one we're discussing is Pas. So the Gemara, when it's discussing Pas, is Amar of Kahana, Amar of Yochanan, Pas lo Hutra Bebezdin. You should just know, Pas was not Hutra Bebezdin. Okay, I don't know why I would have thought that it was. But, so why would I have thought that it was?
Because Shemen was?
Right. Because what the next thing in the Mishnah is Shemen. Right, the next thing in the Mishnah was listed was Shemen. It says, Rebbe u'beis dino hitiru ha-Shemen. Right, so Rebbe and his Beis Din, they were matir the Shemen. Right, so was it really Rebbe?
No.
What was Rebbe's real name? Right, and what was this fellow's name? Who was actually matir the Shemen? I don't know if you got a chance to see the Gemara. On Daf Lamed Zayin. Right, Rabbi Yehuda Nesia. So who's Rabbi Yehuda Nesia? So let's take a look at that Gemara for a second. Where does it start? Right, so it's so apparently Rabbi Yehuda Nesia had an assistant named Rabbi Simloi. Rabbi Simloi is famous for a few things, right? He has plenty of drushas. He's more of a darshan than a person who paskins halachas, but he has one of the most famous drushas in the entire shas, right? End of Meseches Makos, Darish Rabbi Simloi. Rabbi Simloi's drusha is that there are taryag mitzvos in the Torah, Right, he darshans the pasuk Torah Tzivol and Moshe, Torah Gematria 611, and then Anochi Lo Yield. That's Reb Simloy. All right, he has many other things that he says throughout Shas. Also, mostly in the realm of drushas, but he was the assistant of Reb Yehuda Nesiah. So who is Reb Yehuda Nesiah? So I think Rashi says it over here, but just in case. Oh no, he doesn't. Elsewhere, we're told who Reb Yehuda Nesiah is. He was the grandson of Rebbe. So he was also named Reb Yehuda, and he was also the Nasi. So, but he was. Yeah, most likely. No, grandfather.
Like, he was named after, but he was still
alive. Oh, I don't know. It's hard to know what the situation was, whether he was alive or not. But nevertheless, he was his grandson. He was an Amora. He was a first-generation Amora. And his Beis Din was the one that was Matir the Shem. So it says, Amar Le Simloi, he said to Rabbi Simloi, Simloi, Lo Ha'isa Emesh Beveis HaMedrish, Kishehitarnu as Hashemen, we were matir shemen of Akum. Amar lo, so Reb Simloi answered back, Biyameinu tatir af as a pas. He was basically saying to him, Halavai, we should see in our days, b'mher of Yameinu Amein, that they should be matir pas Akum as well. Meaning it sounds like a reform basin over here, that they were matir this isur derabanan, and then what's the response? Halavai vaiter, we should be matir mori surim derabanan. So Amar lo imkain, no, I can't do it. Karula Bezdin Sharia, because they're going to call us to make, they'll call us a reform Bezdin. We're just going to, they're going to call us the Bezdin as matter everything. Ditznan heyed Reb Yosef ben Yoezer, he's Sreda al Ayel Kamsa Dachan, val Mashke Bezdin mit Bechaya Dachan. Dachan here is a fancy Aramaic word for a Tahor. So he's saying that this type of Mashke is Tahor, and this other type of Mashke is Tahor. And this type of thing is also is if you touch a mace, this thing that touched the mace is tamei, right? So he says v'karole Yosef Sharia, and because of all these things that he said were tahor, they used to call him Yosef Sharia, right? Yosef, the one who says everything's mutter, right? He's the big makel. So you don't want to be known as too big of a makel, right? An interesting question you have throughout Psak Halacha. When you approach a Psak Halacha, what approach are you supposed to take? Are you supposed to assume everything is mutter until proven usher? Are you supposed to assume everything is usher until proven mutter? Right? Rabbi Sobolovsky always likes to make the joke. And there's some poskim who assume everything, even after being proven mutter, is still usher. Right? So, but the generally accepted opinion is that you're supposed to go with the approach that everything is mutter until proven usher. You don't sit down to aser things. What?
Zero against the Mishnah. Mishnah says.
So we're gonna have to come back to that. I wanna spend a little bit of time. The truth is, the Gemara that we skipped in between the Pas Akum and this, so basically a large chunk of Daf Lamed Vav is focused on this issue of when the Beis Din should make a Gzeira, when they shouldn't make a Gzeira, and what do you do when the Gzeira doesn't seem to be working. So I want to dedicate probably just one shiur to that, but definitely worth seeing the whole Gemara inside. And we'll see, there's really three approaches in the Rishonim as to how you're mevatel a gzeira of an earlier Beis Din. So we'll come back to that hopefully after we finish the Sugya Pas. But for now, let's go back to our Gemara. So we said that they were, so you might have had a Havamina that they also were matir Pas. So he says, Amr of Kana, Amr of Yochanan, Pas lo hutru b'Beis Din. No, they were not matir the pas in a Beis Din. There was never a formal Beis Din that sat down and said there's no longer an Isser of Pas Akum like it happened by Shem and Akum. And even if it wasn't really for a very good reason, meaning it was mashma from the discussion that whatever criteria existed to be matir Shem and Shel Akum also existed to be matir Pas. But yeah, we don't want everybody to call us names. Right? We want to be a middle of the road Beis Din. We don't want to be someone who's saying that everything is usher, and we don't want to be a Beis Din that says everything is mutter. We want to be in the middle of the road.
So
that's a good question, right? So I think I'm being a little overly, I'm saying it for dramatic effect, that they didn't want to be called, you know, reform, and they didn't want to be considered too makel. I think what they really mean to say is, as a posik, you shouldn't always be giving out kulas, and you shouldn't always be giving out chumras. Like, I know I'm thinking of a certain posek, it doesn't matter who, he's a Talmud Chacham, but like, I don't even have to ask him any shailas. I know, whatever I ask him, if I would just research the sugi myself, and I would see that there's at least one real opinion that holds it's mutter, he's going to say it's mutter. Like every single shaila, as long as there's someone, he doesn't make anything up. He knows the sugya, but he knows if there's one valid daya that holds its mutter, it's going to be mutter every time. You know? What? Correct, but that's not how you pass in shailas. You have to learn the sugya and see what you think the real answer is. And sometimes it's going to come out lakula, and sometimes it's going to come out lakhumra. There are certain times where we look for kulas, where there's a real tircha. First of all, you have to figure out whether you're dealing with a doraisa or a darabon. So obviously there's more room to be made. It doesn't mean every time you're not sure what to do in a darabon, and you just say, sabi darabon lahakil, that's not how you do it. But if you're dealing with dinam daraisa, your netiya is going to be more to protect the dinam daraisa than to protect the dinam darabon. But also, you have to figure out, in other words, how does the sugya seem to be leaning when you look in the Gemaras, in the Rishonim? What seems to be the correct shot? A lot of times, Rav Moshe especially, when he would paskin, a lot of times he would say, like, the accepted psak was really one way, but I in my opinion, I learned the sugya, and this is how I think it comes out. You know, and you have to do that. You have to be intellectually honest when you paskin. You can't just always be mekel or always be machmer. So if you see, you're always going to be, you know, the one exception is probably Hilchos Nida. In Hilchos Nida, there's a Gemara in Brachos where David HaMelech has a comment about himself that a lot of posts can point to. David HaMelech is talking about, he says to the Rabbon Shalom, am I not such a big tzaddik? Because what do most kings do? They sit around with their court and they philosophize and they enjoy all the luxuries of this world. And what do I do? He says, my hands, yadai meluchlachin bedam shvir v'shilya, my hands are filthy with the blood of an afterbirth to try to figure out if a woman is a nida or she's not a nida, is she a tama yoledes or not a yoledes, right? And he uses the lashon, it says, kidei lahatir isha levayla, or the tahir isha levayla. I want to be because I'm spending all this time and effort to be metaher a woman to her husband. Now, why didn't he say kedei ladas im hitameh or tahora? No, he says I have a goal. When it comes to Hilchos Nida, I have a goal. My goal is to be mekel. Now, it doesn't mean you can make something up out of thin air. It has to be legit. You can't. But your netiyah should always be to create a heter between a husband and a wife. So some poskim say that gemara is really for all piskei halacha. The goal should always be to be mekel. The goal should be to try to be matir. Now, if you can't, you can't. But that should be. You should try. You should try to be mekel if possible. And some say no. In every other area of halacha, it depends. But in Hilchos Nida, you should try very hard to be mekel. Okay, but that's
So the main part of the gemara on Daf Lamed Zayin was just a show who said.
So it wasn't really a machlokes, meaning it was saying that the Shem and Akum, the gzeira was undone. The original gzeira, if you got a chance to look in the Mishnah and Shabbos on Daf Gimel, the original gzeira was, and the Gemara here on Lamed Vav also discusses it. It was one of the 18 gzeiras that they made in this time period where the Ziknei Beishamay and Beisil got together, and these were very serious. Zeris. They said that even if Eliyahu Navi himself would come, we would not undo these Xeris. Right? So, and yet, one of them got undone. So, that's a little weird. You know, normally, right, you got a chance to see that little Yerushalmi that I gave you the excerpt from? Right, so Yerushalmi says that that normally we have a rule that Ein Bezin Yachal Levatos Divrei Bezin Chaver El King Gotel Vimena Chachma Vimenyin. But we said that these 18, even if the greatest Beis Din on earth, or Eliyahu Hanavi's Beis Din would come and try to be make, you know, say, well, listen, Beishami Beisil are pretty great. Eliyahu Hanavi's probably even greater. So he should be able to be undo the Takana. We say, no, we don't listen to him. And why? He says, She'amdo lehem b'nashosem. They were moser nefesh to these gzeiras. They locked the door. They said, everything that's going to, this we're making Takanas that are going to last forever. And there's nothing ever going to be undone. So okay, so these are some introductory words to this thing. But what the Gemara starts off with is saying, Rabbi Yochanan says, there was never a formal heter for pas like there was for shemen. But then it says, mechlal di'ikam and deshari. So implying that there are those who hold that it's mutter. Meaning right away, the Gemara is saying, why would Rabbi Yochanan have to come along and make such a weird statement? It must be because there were those opinions that it's totally mutter, and they were thinking that it was undone in a beis din. And comes along Rabbi Yochanan and says, no, it was never undone in a beis din. So, and then the Gemara goes further and they say, well, how did this come out? Why did people think? Yeah, it is true that people thought that. The Chiyasa Rav Dimi Yomar Pamachas Yotze Rebbe Yivasadeh Behavio Vikochav Lefana Pasperoni Ma'afa Sa'ah. They give him a big saw of bread from this fancy oven. And Omar, wow, Rebbe said, Kama Noa Pazu Ma Ro Chacham Loser. What delicious, what nice bread. Why would the Chachamim have asserted it? Why? It's so... And obviously the reason he wanted to matter the bread wasn't because it was so delicious, but he was basically saying, he was trying to play up the bread, saying, ah, there's nothing wrong, I don't say, oh, pasachem, blech. No, I say, it's delicious, it's good. You know, but why did the Chacham master it? So when they heard that, right, so they heard, kasur na'am, I skipped the line, I think. Right, so ma ro chachamim, Frank Dingamar, what are you talking about? Why they asked it? Bishim chasnas. They asked it because of intermarriage. So Ella Ma Ro Chacham LaOsra B'Sadeh. What he meant was, is that here I am in the Sadeh. I'm not in, you know, I'm out in the on a hike somewhere, and I have this Pas Akum. It's, I don't even know where it's coming from. I don't know. I don't have anything else available to me right now. So I should be allowed to eat this Pas Akum. I shouldn't have to refrain. So that's what he wanted to say. That's so Kesvur Nam Hiti Rebbe Apas Velohi Rebbe Lo Hiti Apas. Right, so he says he never was matir it. Right, so that's version one of the discussion. He was never matir pasakom. He was maybe the sadeh, but definitely, or maybe not at all. Rabbi Yosef, Yitamer, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Amar Lo Kacha Yemaisa Ela Amar Panacha Solach Rabbi Lemakamech Ach Vera Pas Dachuk LeTalmidim. He went to a city where he didn't live, and he saw the Talmidim had nothing to eat. You got to remember, in those days they ate 90% bread. Right, they everything was bread plus something else. Nowadays we have even when we have a sandwich, it's 90% sandwich, and then you know you don't want to get your hands dirty, so you put some bread on the top and the bottom. But in those days the bread was the ikker, so they didn't have a lot of bread to eat. So I'm a Rebbe, ain't kan palter. What? There's no baker here. There's no place to buy bread. So kasmurna am lomar palter over kocham, hulo amar ela palter yisra. Right. So he says he was talking about a palter yisra. So Amr B'chalbo, Afilu Mandamar, Palter Ovid Kochavim, Lo Amr Nel, the Lake of Palter Yisrael. Abim, welcome to Ika Palter Yisrael, Lo. So first qualification is, yeah, you can buy from a Palter if there's no Palter Yisrael. So you can buy from a Palter Ovid Kochavim if there's no Jewish baker to buy from. Rabbi Yochanan Amr, Afilu Mandamar, Palter Ovid Kochavim, Hanim Eliv Esada, Abba Be'ir, Lo, Mishim Chasnas. So he says, Steve, and Rabbi Yochanan says, no. Even if we're talking, even according to the Mandara Palter of Kochavim, that's only in a sadeh, meaning when you don't have access to the normal resources. But in the field, you can buy from Palter Nachri. But at home, you can't buy from a Palter Nachri. You have to buy from a Palter Yisrael.
What's the difference?
Right. So what do you think the difference is? So one possible difference could be that. It's you just don't have access. Meaning, yeah, there's a Jewish baker in town, but I'm not in town.
So would right. That be the same reason as before?
So is that the same exact thing? So maybe not. Meaning, you could say, like, I'm right at the outskirts of the town with the Jewish baker. You might argue I have to go back into town and buy the Jewish bread. No, Kamash Fallon, you don't have to go back into town to buy the Jewish bread. In other words, there's equal amount of, let's say, a better way of illustrating it would be, there's one street, there's Main Street, and it has a Jewish bakery and a non-Jewish bakery. So I'm outside of the town, I'm equidistant from the Jewish and the non-Jewish bakery. And all that my fellow hiker has on him is bread from the non-Jewish bakery. So you might think, well, the same way I could go to the Jewish bakery, I'd go to the non-Jewish bakery and vice versa, so I shouldn't be allowed to eat this non-Jewish bakery bread. Because I'm in the field, and I can just go back into town and buy. So you say, no, if it's besada, you can eat from the non-Jewish bakery. Right, but in other words, that's one way to look at it. But
or you can just say that it's the same business.
What?
It's not a situation of like.
Right. Oh, right. So this you have to keep in mind that when we talk about pas akum, it's very important. This does not apply to zman hazeh. Meaning, there's an issue of kashrus and there's an issue of pas yisro. Right. So pas akum in those days, all bread was essentially baked the same way, and all bread was kosher. Bread was bread. right? It was flour, water, I don't know, maybe something else, but I don't think so, right? And nowadays, with all of the various preservatives and rising agents they put in and all kinds of things that they put into the bread, you have to be much more careful. The bread has to be kosher. So you have to have hashgacha on the bread. Now, it doesn't mean that that makes it pas yisro. Pas yisro means it has to be baked by a Jew, not by a non-Jew. So you can, and it's not like Chalav Yisrael, where if there would be a supervisor, a Jewish supervisor coming down to watch the milk, that makes it kosher. The Jew doesn't have to do anything to the milk. Here, ironically, Pas Yisrael, the Jew actually has to do something to bake the bread, even if it's 100% kosher. Even if there's a Jew standing there supervising it, his vision does not make it Pas Yisrael. Right? He actually has to do something to make it Pas Yisrael. So, okay. You guys, did you guys want to go to Ray Willie? So now it is it's in 5 minutes, I think it's 10:10. What? Oh, okay. So we'll go for 5 minutes. Fine. So let's do the so there's basically how do you understand the Hemshech of the Gemara? So if you looked at, if you got a chance to see the Ran analyzes the different possibilities when it comes to the Hemshech of the Gemara. Right? In other words, do we accept, we're not going to look in the Ran right this second, but in other words, do we accept our, the Rabbi Yochanan, you have, at the end over there, you have Rabbi Yochanan arguing that it needs to be the Sadeh, and Rabbi Chelva was saying it just has to be a place where there's not a Palter Yisrael. So are they arguing on each other? Is Rabbi Yochanan adding to Rabbi Chelva? That's the Ran's Cheshbon. But before you even get into that, you have Tosfos and the Rush. Tosfos and the Rush have a totally separate cheshbon. They basically say that the whole hemshich of the Gemara is according to the opinion that Pas Akum is actually Aser. However, the fact is the Gemara started off by saying many people think Pas Akum is Mutter. Although we agree that it was never formally rescinded. Mm-hmm. It was never formally rescinded like Shemen. Shemen Akum is mutter. Like if you want to come along and say that it's usser for you, you're making that up. It doesn't count. Right? You're not doing anybody any favors. But if you Pas Akum, no, it is usser, but many think that it's mutter. So what does that mean, many think that it's mutter?
What really is Pas Akum? Like,
no, so it doesn't sound like that. It sounds like some people hold mutter. There's no such thing as Pas Akum. And some say, no, well, we have to get involved with what are the qualifications where Pas Akum would be mutter. So if there's no Palter Yisrael and you're Besadeh, right, that's assuming Pas Akum is Usher in the first place. So that, but Tosva says, we don't necessarily assume Pas Akum is Usher in the first place, even though it was never rescinded. Let's just try to read some of that Tosva's inside. So he says, Midika Amar, Pas Lo Hutra Bebezdin, Mechlal, Di Boy, Havasharile. Meaning, if we wanted to, we could have rescinded the takana. So Alma lo posha isura. So Tosfos is giving a very important insight into how you could be matter things. Meaning, it sounds like if we wanted to rescind Pas Yisrael, Pas Akum, we would have. We could have done it if we wanted to. So what do you mean you could have done it if you wanted to? We just said Ein Bezin Yachal Levatel Bezin Chaver. And not only that, this is one of the Yud Ches Takanos. So it has to be, says Tosfos, you see that this gzeira was lo poshat b'chol Yisrael. It means that it was never fully accepted by the Jews. Some people accepted it, some people didn't accept it. In other words, the whole cheshbon that the Gemara goes through afterwards is within those opinions that accepted it. But the fact remains, many did not accept it. And then the whole discussion further is, was it formally rescinded or was it not formally rescinded? Did Rebbe actually go ahead and rescind it or not? So we say, no, he never rescinded it. But he could have if he wanted to. Why? He's as great as Beishama and Beisilla? He's not as great as Beishama and Beisilla. But you apparently don't have to be as great as Beishama and Beisilla in order to rescind a takana if it did not catch on. If the Jewish people just never actually kept it. So that's what he's saying over here. It was not partially so. Again, I want to get more into the details of that a little bit later in the summer. But that's an important thing to keep in mind. There was low pashat isuro, and therefore there were those who were not keeping it. Umikan samchuata lechol pasha ovdei kochavim, and that's a lot of people rely on this to eat pasakum. Kevan del shelo pasher yisur b'chol yisrael. V'yesh lismoch al divrei Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Reb Elazar Reb Tzadok Damri in gozrin gzeira al atzibur elin kin rov atzibur yichol in lamud ba'al. Right? You don't put a gzeira on the Jewish people unless the majority of people are actually able to keep it. But if it's too difficult for most people to keep it, then you don't put such a gzeira. And then he goes on and he says the fact that even Rav Yudah Nasi and Rav Simloi were having this conversation is another raya that it was never fully accepted, because Rav Yudah Nasi was saying, yeah, I would totally do it. It's just I already was matur too many things. So in other words, all the tools are there at my disposal to get rid of it because it never caught on. But I'm not going to actually formally do it because then they're going to call me a Beis Din Sharia. So this seems to be Tosfos' proof, and this is the way the Rush holds as well, that really there are places where they don't keep the halachas of Pasakum at all, and they're not doing anything wrong. They're not doing anything wrong because the gzera did not fit the rules for which gzeras you have to follow. And therefore, it's okay for those people who don't keep the halachos of Pas Yisrael.
Why don't we go to this whole thing now? Like, what's this case that they're buying bread?
Ah, so this seems to be a question, right, against Tosfos and the Rush, because clearly there were those who did follow it, and then they have a whole shakla v'tai, right? This is the Imtim Tsiloma rule, right? When the Gemara has, you know, they have two opinions, and they say, Imtim Tsiloma like this opinion, what would be the din in this case? And Imtim Tsiloma, it's like that, what would be in this case? Right? So whichever shita the Imtim Tsiloma seem to follow, that's how the Gemara usually paskins. The Riff and the Rush, they always say, like, we follow the Imtim Tsilomars. Because why would the Gemara be investigating that Shita further if in fact, we didn't paskin that way? It must be that we accept that premise, and now we're asking more questions within that Shita. Right? So it sounds like from that the other Shita, the Shita that it's Usur, is the Imtim Tsilomar Shita. So that's difficult in the Tosfos. So next time we'll talk about the Rush. The Rush has his three Rayas that he thinks prove that it wasn't really accepted. One of them is the Rav Yudah Nasi Gemara, but he has two other rayas that he tries to show that the takana of Pasakum was never really accepted, and therefore you can be makel if you're from one of the places where they never really accepted the takana. You have the right to be makel, and you don't have to keep the laws of Pasakum. All right, so we'll get to that next time.